I want to read some verses from the Psalms. The first is in Psalm number 6. Just for the sake of time, most know that there are 7 penitential Psalms. Psalms that were written by David during that period when God was working with him to recover him, to bring him back to himself. During that period he wrote Psalm 6, Psalm 32, Psalm 38, Psalm 51, Psalm 102, Psalm 130, and Psalm 143, 7 of them. This is the first of them, and I want to just take an expression out of it and look at it. I want to look at an expression in verse 6. I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. Now turn over to Psalm 30. Psalm 30. I just want one verse in this psalm as well. At verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night. And most of you have got a marginal reading in your Bible can see that the word endure is the word for lodge. That is, weeping may be a lodger for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now chapter 30, Psalm 39, at verse 12. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner as all my fathers were. Now Psalm 42. Psalm 42 at verse 3. Read verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Now, Psalm 56. Psalm 56 at verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Now, those of you know, the word tell means count, like the teller in the bank. Thou countest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Now, one last psalm. Psalm 126. Psalm 126 at verse 4. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now that's all I intend to read, with God's blessing. I want to look at a subject that all of us know something about and might even have to learn more about it. I want to speak on the subject of tears. We were singing, O child of God, thy lot may be oft mixed with trial, grief, and tears. And I want to look at these expressions and give them, each of them, a title. I want to take up Psalm 6 and think of that dark night, that midnight. It's called the Midnight Psalm. Those men who write on the Psalms call it the darkest hour, the Midnight Psalm. And one cry rises from that psalm, from a man who is broken-hearted. And it is, how long, O Lord, how long? That is, I want to look at an unrelieved dark night of tears. These penitential psalms. And they're the psalms of a man who has been under the chastening hand of God, learning how costly it is to trifle with sin. You know, in all the accounts of David, there's one thing that stands written in the Word of God, and it doesn't say, but in the matter of Bathsheba. Now you follow that through. You'll find that expression, the expression I want, in 1 Kings chapter 5. That might have been a momentary lapse. That might have been hurried into sin. But it says in 1 Kings chapter 5, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. That was a premeditated, deliberate murder of a man that David should have appreciated. It does never say anywhere in our Bible in the matter of Bathsheba. Never says that. But you read the expression, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Oh, that. I'm sure that David hated the day that he wrote that letter to Joab. I'm sure that that letter that he had written, that put him under the thumb of Joab, that made Joab treat David with insolence, that made David to be very small in the company of Joab. I would say, dear brethren and sisters, be it tragedy, if any of us get into that difficulty that David is in, but there is recovery. And that's the point. And those psalms were written from a broken heart. And David says, chasten me not beyond, chasten me not in thy wrath, not beyond the bounds of necessity. Oh, chasten me, but not beyond the bounds of necessity. And David says, all night long, I water my couch with my tears. So that we have an unrelieved dark night. And I not say anything more about it. It's a midnight psalm. The darkest night that any of us will ever have is when we find that God is against us. The darkest night that any of us will ever have to face will be when we allow the devil to win the day and get into sin and leave a blot that will not be forgotten. I want to take up the next psalm, Psalm 30 and verse 5. And I want to give a title to thee, Lodger, this Lodger. I want to think that Psalm 30 and verse 5 tells us that tears are an unwelcome stranger. They came in with sin. Sometime you'll maybe get a little booklet that's worth reading, and it's called Gethsemane and the Tears of Jesus. And it takes up the way in which all those different expressions that came in with sin have been borne by the Lord Jesus. Sweat. Sorrow. A new language. That's a new language that Adam had to learn. And among them all, there was a word that I have read to you. It's tears. tears. They're a lodger. They come in, but they're not here to stay. Oh, are they not? No, they're not here to stay. Because there's an expression that I want to draw your attention to. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, there shall be no more tears. But let me say this, that it's only the hand that could reach down and dry up the bed of the Red Sea or dry up the bed of the Jordan can wipe away those tears. They're here. They're an unwelcome stranger. This is a different subject altogether. How many of us at times have had to sit down? And it's a safety valve. I know that it's most people will say, you know, it's an evidence of weakness, but I'm not happy about that at all. It's a safety valve. You turn to Peter. Was there any other recourse that he had? Where could he turn? What could he do? But allow that safety valve of tears to bring him some relief so that it came in with sin. They endure for a night. They lodge for a night. They're only a lodger. An unwelcome lodger. They'll come to your house. They'll come to my house. And they're a most unwelcome lodger. And you can't put them out. And you're glad when they go. Then I want to say a little word about Psalm 39 and verse 12, because here the psalmist is telling us that there's an eloquence with a tear. Sometimes when words mean nothing, sometimes when we cannot say anything, we could think of this expression. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears. That is, there's an eloquent language. There's a language that the psalmist is saying. Hear what I'm saying. Listen to my voice. But read the eloquence of my tears. Just as we read in Exodus chapter 2. The babe wept. And there, isn't there something about that? An eloquence? An appeal? Hear it. Listen to it. I don't need to tell you that we find it in John chapter 11. The Lord Jesus didn't need to say too much to Martha and Mary. Oh, you say, sure. Was he not going to bring out Lazarus from the grave? Yes. Well, we read those words. And Jesus wept. What eloquence there is in that. That's far better than words, you know. And the psalmist is appealing to God. And he said, look down and hear my tears. In the language of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, for out of anguish of heart and many tears I wrote unto you. You know, brethren, if I get away from God, and all of us at times need a ministry like this, you know, you couldn't refuse a ministry. Out of anguish of heart and many tears. That's the kind of ministry that will bring about recovery. That is, that we don't see it in 1 Corinthians. But that letter that brought such humiliation to them, that brought them down in the dust, was splashed with tears and anguish of heart. That's why it was effective. That's why it worked. I'll move on quickly, for I don't want to stay too long with any of these points. I'm leaving them with you to think about them. I want to think of Psalm 42 in verse 3. I want to think on the unbearable thirst. If we have called Psalm 39 verse 12 the unspoken eloquence of a tear. Right, you know, I like that unspoken eloquence. I like that hymn in the old redemption hymn book, you know. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward glancing of an eye, when none but God is near. There's an eloquence with it. But in Psalm 42, it's not the unspoken eloquence of a tear. I want to think of the unbearable thirst of longing after God. Tears of longing. The heart panting for the water brooks. All his whole being yearning for God. Thirsting for God. For the living God. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? The painful taunt. You know, brethren, I don't want to speak about Psalm 42, for I know very little about it. What do you mean? I know very little about that shedding tears because I haven't got enough of God. Because I don't know God the way I would like to. Because that I haven't got those experiences of God that I want to have. The heart panting for the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Well then, let us turn then to Psalm 56 and verse 8. That is in verse 8, the psalmist is telling God that his tears will not be forgotten. Thou countest my wanderings. You know, it was permeating the prayers of our brethren at the beginning of the meeting this evening, wasn't it? God has been bearing with our manners. Wanderings? Ah, brethren, what has life been? Has it not been one recovery after another, and God bringing us back to himself? Thou countest my wanderings. Put my tears into thy bottle. That is that those wanderings and tears are all treasured up by God. As I read this afternoon, I was thinking that there was a work that the priest engaged in every morning. He trimmed the lamps and he burned incense. Now those two works were done together every morning. And let me say that when we gather in this way, I hope there'll be a ministry like that priestly ministry that will trim the lamp and it will burn the incense. And you know, you can take time and look it up yourself. In Exodus chapter 30, we read, in Exodus chapter 37, really, in 30 the lamps trimmed, but in chapter 37, Exodus 37, you read about the golden snuff box. What was that for? That was for the trimmings of the wick. They weren't thrown down onto the ground. They were kept. All those painful experiences. When we've been trimmed and made to burn brighter, those painful experiences are not forgotten by me. But they're not forgotten by God. Then I want to say a little word about Psalm 126 and leave it. I'll leave the subject. That is, there's a sowing time. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We're all more or less, we all know that the sowing time and the ploughing time is the winter time. And the idea there in Psalm 126 is the ploughman with a hard winter frost and the tears streaming down his face. My hands are on the plough, my cheeks are wet, my eyes on the goal. Keep me from turning back. That's the idea. As the ploughman in the winter time, going forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, and coming back in the harvest day, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know, there's a beautiful hymn in the Believer's Hymn Book. We seldom sing it. Oh, for the no more weeping. Oh, for the tearless eye. And I close with quoting some of the words of that hymn. A little while for patient vigil keeping, to face the storm and wrestle with the storm. A little while to sow the seed with weeping, then bind the sheaves and raise the harvest song. May the Lord bless his word.